Yep.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Move to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Evening, everyone. Open the floor for public comment.
Yes, I'm Jennifer Pruden, and I was just wondering when I would be getting the court order check from the village over the lawsuit.
What check would that be?
That would be the $1,482.92, representing the cost and disbursement incurred by me as outlined in the judgment by State of New York Supreme Court Judge Patrick McGrath.
I don't know if to speak to our attorney. First I've heard of it.
You guys got the letter too. What's your name? February 6th.
Maybe it went to our attorney.
Yeah, didn't go to us.
So we'll have to wait for
Dave to stay on that again. Anything else? Okay, we'll approve the minutes for the February meeting.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Motion is carried. Approve treasurer's report for February.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Bill. Any questions on the treasurer's report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Correspondence. We have one piece of correspondence from William and Noreen D'Ambrosi. This has to do with they bought a property on Malden Street, and when the sales information came off, it listed a home address as 3 Chatham Street, which we were sending all the correspondence to, and that is not their correct address. Their correct address was Malden Street. They have a post office box, but we were not made aware of that. And the post office evidently didn't forward one of the water bills. What was it? October's bill? October's water bill to their current address. So they're asking relief from the penalties. They want to pay the water bill, but they're asking for relief from the penalties. So we can address that under new business later, but that's what the correspondence is about. Okay, Highway Department.
As you know, we've had a very difficult winter. 3 major storms, and it looks like there's a 4th one on the way this coming Tuesday. I think that Jay and Peter have done a fine job of keeping the roads clear. They're up, they're going past my place at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I haven't heard any real complaints about too much snow on the roads. There are some potholes out there. They happen to be right on the edge between village property and the county. I think that it's... We've had problems with water in them, but we do have some something we can fill, at least temporarily, until the county can get out there. A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter from New York DOT concerning something called Bridge New York Program. This is a program where money will be available to replace or repair bridges and culverts. The money is available, but in order to get the money, we have to join something called, what's the name of that again?
We're already a member.
Yeah.
Grants Gateway.
Okay. Grants Gateway.
We are members of it right now, so on the final thing, that's a requirement. Terry and I will be working on a submission, a pre-qualification submission tomorrow morning to see how it works out. This will go in with a whole bunch of other villages and towns and so forth. They'll make the final decision. If they do, we can get them to do the engineering on it if it's necessary. I picked the culvert on Fairview Avenue, the one that runs up under the terrace, just as a start. We've got a couple of others that probably will need work too, and that can be on the horizon as long as the money holds out. It's a long process, you know. It's Jerry's smiling back here, but anyway, we'll start on it tomorrow and keep it going. We're looking forward to the budget hearings next Wednesday. And at that point, I'll have some figures together for streets and roads and also the county waste. I've talked with them. They don't foresee any big changes. We're adequately funded, and we'll talk with that at the budget meeting. That's all I have, Bob.
All right. Bill? Water Department?
Routine samples are run, and all tests are current. Our average daily use was 99,000 gallons a day. The Malaysia Coast Crossing project has been completed and was all tested and met all qualifications. When and if the snow melts and warm weather comes, Keller will be back to reseed the lawns that they're on. So that's done, and probably be a big headache that we don't have to worry about anymore. And they did some work in the pump houses, and they cleared fire hydrants. If you have a fire hydrant near your house, if you can clear it too and help them out a little bit, be appreciated, especially with all the snow. But there was two coliform tests taken, and they were all negative. And our annual water report has been delayed by the state, the template, so you may not be getting that in your April water billing, maybe later.
Police,
you have a written report in front of you from Officer Jones. During the month, there was 2 arrests made, 16 incidents, and 65 traffic tickets issued. 18 of the tickets were for speeding, including 2 in excess of 20 miles over the speed limit. The average speed over the speed limit was 15.7 miles an hour for a ticket. There are 11 tickets written for operating a motor vehicle while using an electronic device or a mobile phone. 6 tickets for running stop signs or red lights. 3 for driving without a license or having a suspended license. And 2 for parking in a handicapped parking spot without the proper placard. We had no impaired driving arrests. And there were also a number of domestic incidents and assists of other departments and EMS, and the details are in the report. Unit 602, the 2016 Ford Interceptor Utility has 20,300 miles on it. 603, the Crown Victoria has 44,800 miles on it. I want to thank everyone who attended the 5th Annual Police Department Open House last Friday. Here at Village Hall. We had about 20 people in attendance, which is a few more than we usually have. Attendees listened to a presentation from Officer Jones about the department and data on its activities over the past 7 years. There were also a number of questions asked by people in the audience, and Officer Jones provided answers. Officer Bunny and Canine Jax also demonstrated their narcotics detection skills. Canine Jax really stole the show, as is usual. I think he greeted everybody at least once. All in all, the event, I think, went very well, and as it has in the past. And these are the kinds of community outreach activities that are important in our continuing efforts to improve the image of the department. I also don't want to forget the folks who provided refreshments, Judy Ziller and Sue Forte. Also, earlier in the month, the department participated in the DPS, the PTO annual Kids Fair, And Officer Jones, Bunny, and retired K-9 Yazzo represented the department and interacted with both the kids and their parents. And I happened to be up there as part of the Bicentennial Committee, but we were kind of close by, so we were able to see all the commotion over Yazzo and kids petting him and hugging him and really laying on top of him. And it was kind of nice. You know, Yazzo is very gentle at this point in his career, in his retirement, so he was good to see with the kids. And then I just want to reiterate and just tack on to what Bill said about, you know, the winter we're having this year and how important it is for folks to comply with requests to clear the streets when Jay and Pete have to plow and try to keep the streets safe. The department has been working closely with the highway department, so trying to keep things safe for everyone. So just want to thank everyone for doing that. I don't think we've had any issues, or at least not major issues. So it's been really good in that respect.
Assessor?
Grievance is over, and assessment is now in the hands of the county, and this is our last year of assessment. So next year, the county will be taking over for good. That's about it.
All right. Dave, any other items to talk about?
I have a question just for clarity. I know we allocated $6,000 for LaBerge to do the scope of work for the mm-hmm. building. Is there an RFP attached to that somewhere? Or?
Well, there's a project description.
Can you get that over to me? I just want to see it.
Missy's got it.
Okay. And
I can tell you what it is. There's going to be...
What's the scope of work going to be, actually?
The scope of work is replacing all the windows and all the doors.
Okay.
We're putting a canopy over the... or extending the roof out a couple of feet beyond the building over the garage door so that don't have the splashback and rotting on the bottom of the thing. There's a section in there on how to prep the siding for paint and also details on which panels need to be replaced because they're beyond repair.
Is that what the birds did?
That's what they're doing.
Okay, that's what they're doing.
So there's a detail on the overhang. There's a detail on that. There's going to be a spec on the doors and the windows. And I think they're going to get it replaced, Missy's door sign or a little window there.
Okay.
So it's usable because right now it's hard to open and close. So
are they? So the LaBerge is to present us with this scope of work, and then are they actually going out and doing the
bidding? They're going to take care of the bid.
Doing the whole. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That's it. I just wanted the clarity on that.
Well, that's what it was. That's what it is. And I was told that the draft proposal will be over, you know, for us to review before it goes out to bid. Obviously.
Okay.
Will be available next week.
Now, do we have a say in the contract, or that's all on them? Do we give that?
What do you mean a say?
We have
a say in what's being done.
As far as choosing the contractor, are we going to let them make the decision on it?
Well, it's a public bid, so actually, they do not ever choose the contract.
So that's still up to us.
That's for board approves the contract and approves the bidder.
Okay.
But they will make a recommendation unless there's, you know, a disqualified bidder, then, you know, it's the lowest bid. That's the rule.
Okay, no, that's fine. That clears up, you know, my question.
So, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, Bill. Anything?
No. Nothing more.
Guy?
I have a. There was an update email sent around to folks on the rail trail mailing list that had some information regarding the trail. On March 28th at 6:30 p.m. at Ichabod Crane High School on Route 9 in Valencia, there's going to be a public hearing regarding the draft environmental impact statement that was developed for the trail. Its construction and the use of it over time. So this draft environmental impact statement needs to have a public hearing. directly prior to the public hearing, there's going to be an open house, an informational open house, so, you know, again, about the trail. That starts at 5:30 at Ichabod Crane High School. And draft environmental impact statement has been posted to the trail website, which is ahettrail.org. I've given that out before. And later this week, we'll have that information on the village website that houses the information on the trail. So you'll be able to find it there, too. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I met with one of our newer homeowners, a family on Chatham Street, and it turns out that the gentleman there, Ken Crandall, is the education director for the New York Bicycling Coalition, and this is a group based in Albany that represents the interests of bicyclists in the state. So as we were talking, we talked about the trail and some other things, but he expressed his willingness to provide information as well as run seminars and other educational events for residents, pretty much on bicycle safety and other related issues, including how motorists interact with bicycles too. And so, you know, as an avid bicyclist myself, I think this is a really great opportunity in general, but given that we're going to have you know, it's likely that we're going to have increased bicyclists in the village given the trail. I think that having a resource like Mr. Crandall, who's also willing to do this on, you know, on a volunteer basis, is really important. And the other thing that we talked about with Mr. Crandall is that the village's plan to improve Main Street, including walkability with better sidewalks and better curbing and parking solutions and things like that. He talked about complete street strategy, which is something that was in the master plan. And it basically takes into consideration all types of transportation, not just motor vehicles and pedestrian, but also bikes and public transportation and things like that. So thinking about how to redesign roads so that they can accommodate all those modes of transportation safely.
What's his title?
He's education director.
And where does he live?
He lives on Chatham Street.
Chatham Street, okay.
At the New York Bicycling Coalition. So I think, you know, it's I've always been impressed by the wealth of sort of expertise in a small village like ours. I mean, we have engineers, we have all sorts of people. People work for the state and have specialized knowledge. We have a bunch of people who know how to build things and keep them maintained. It's really great to do that. So it's nice, and they're all willing, when asked, to help out. So yet another example of that. So I think it's something we should take advantage of when the time comes. Thanks.
Randy? Let's see. So I had a, building on what David was talking about, I had a meeting with Rensselaer County Real Property yesterday. Discussed how the transition is going to occur from the village tax roll to the town tax roll. So there's going to be a letter going out. It will be going out hopefully this month because we are going to be the last municipality that will utilize the town roll. So the town right now is going through their tentative assessment roll, and the grievance day for the town is the third Thursday in May. So she said it was May 26th or something. But it's the third Thursday in May. It's always the third Thursday in May. But whatever assessment your property is assigned on this roll will be the value that will determine your tax next June.
So both town and village?
For the village.
Okay, so the town will stay the same as they have it?
Well, the town's tax bill comes out in January.
Right.
So they establish the roll. The roll is final in July. Okay? The first group to use it is the school districts.
Okay.
So the school districts use those values to establish the school the tax base for either if you're in Ichabod Cranes or if you're in East Greenbush. Okay? So those are the two that I think the only two that we use. But so those would be the ones for that. Then the next one that uses it is the county and the town.
Okay.
All right. So the tax rolls come out with that assessed value, and they build their rate how much per thousand based on that value. So previously we had always had our own, but now we're also going to use those values, the same values that they do, and we will establish a new tax rate based on those values for the village for next June. So what I'm saying is that you should pay attention to what, I mean, theoretically, if their values are equitable, then, you know, the tax shouldn't change. But I would caution folks to take a look at it because, and this is the thing I had with them, is that if you don't grieve your assessment and you stay with your assessment, and next year you get your tax bill in June and you don't like the tax because you think your assessment is not correct, you've already missed their grievance for the following year.
So we can grieve this May for next year?
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to be grieving our Nassau tax bill town tax bill?
Town tax bill.
Because, there's two different numbers.
Town assessment.
Assessment.
The town assessment.
How does that work with the two different numbers? Let's say you're assessed at $150,000 in Nassau Village and $100,000.
Doesn't work at all because after we send our tax bills out, you can take our tax book and chuck it.
So they're going to use their?
Strictly
so
theirs.
So ours is going to be thrown out?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, everything will be based on
theirs.
They're
not even going to look
assessment.
At those. They're not even going to say, okay, this is 150, 100, we're going to go 125, they're going to say 100. Okay.
The assessor may look at the two of them and try to bring them together, but if they do, then...
And you got to grieve.
Then there's things going on.
And they're going to be sending out letters.
And this is all coming about because New York State will no longer support villages. So villages cannot have their own roles unless they purchase their own software, which is, you know, like $100,000 to have a system to be your own assessor. So, there are no villages. We are the last village in Rensselaer County to move.
Okay.
And I did that specifically because when I started talking about this 2 years ago, there were the village of Valley Falls and the village of Hoosick were both switching, one switch this year and one switch last year. One is a small village in two towns like ours, and one is a large village all in one town. And I wanted to let those two folks go through everything and figure out all the pitfalls before we did it. So we are the last village to move.
So how does that work with the assessed value, like numbers, like the town bills now at like 76%, we bill out.
Right, so there's a difference. All right, so there's a difference. There's a difference in the value. So the difference is, you know, it's fairly significant. It's about $8 million. You know, so our tax roll, the village is valued at about $79 million. And the town's tax roll, the village is valued at about $71 million. Okay, so all that means is that our tax rate is $5 per thousand based on $79 million. So the rate on $71 million might be $6 an hour, $6.25. It's not going to generate any more dollars, but it's just.
But our village tax bill is still going to be based on what we tax at, not the town.
We will set our own tax rate.
A tax rate.
We will set our own tax rate, but we will use the village or the town's assessment values.
Right. Okay.
Well, question.
Yes.
How about the 19 people that live over in Skodak that are part of the building?
We're going to use Skodak's values.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep.
That's great.
And they're going to, actually, I think what they're going to do is, and I've got, I'll be meeting with them again, but I think they're going to be basing everything on market. They're going to convert to market value so that because of the town of Skodak and the town of Nassau. So they'll convert to market value and then give us a market value number. The numbers I just mentioned were market value numbers. So, but there's more to go. I just want to put it out there right off the bat that if you do not grieve this year, then the next two cycles, you're going to be, you know, and you won't know what the effect is until after grievance again next year. Mm-hmm. So you may want to take a look at it. That's all I'm saying. I don't want any surprises. Let's see. So I also I've been talking with Nan Strolzberg from Building Better Places. Was it?
Community planning,
yeah. Getting ready to set up a meeting with the zoning committee so we can get started on that. I forwarded her all the information that we've worked on to date, and we're looking at getting together and getting started on that. So I can't think of anything else. So Missy.
Yeah, I'd like to remind everyone that Election Day, March 20th, polls are open noon to 9, and we have a special meeting at 9 o'clock, right after we close the polls for election results. Also, the April water bills are being processed, and they'll be going out shortly, so if anyone doesn't get theirs, please let me know. I can print you one. All right. Thank you.
Code enforcement.
Yes, things are really shaping up, it looks like, around here. Most of the abandoned properties that I talked about, you know, 3 years ago, most of them have been purchased and are now being fixed up quite a bit. The one on Malden Street is looking really nice. There's another one on the Terrace now that they had a contractor over there today working on, so revitalization is happening in this community, and I'm happy to say that we are a lot less abandoned properties than we had 3 years ago, which is fantastic. Also, Bill and I have put together a Nassau Community Budget Questionnaire just to give everybody an idea of where our money has been going for the year 2017-18 budget, just so everybody can see how our money's been allocated. And this questionnaire, feel free to fill it out, bring it back to Missy or myself or any one of the board members. And one thing I forgot to mention is when you put your order of importance from 1 to 6, 1 being most important, 6 being least important, use each number only once. I didn't put that on here, but you know, some people are kind of doing the 1, 2, 6 for each item. So use each number only once, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask any of us about it. We do have our budget hearings coming up, and you know, I highly recommend if you're interested to see where our money is spent, go to the hearings. On another note, if you have any issues regarding code enforcement, and you know, put in the complaints. Put the complaints in, because every complaint does get looked at, you know. So if there are any issues that you have, put the complaints in, and you know, we will make an effort to make sure that that complaint gets taken care of. That's all for
okay. You want to move on to your
animal control? No, yeah. No report. Community revitalization. January's meeting, we talked about me putting together a scope of work for the 8 hours that we had allocated for last year for an office staff person to work on the technical assistance grant. So I put that scope of work together and put it in everybody's mailbox last month. Were you all able to take a look at this last month, the scope of work for the Main Street technical assistance grant? If not, I do have.
Yeah, I looked it over.
So what I'm looking for now is, since I have the scope of work, we are looking to actually allocate those hours that have been approved. We approved $7,000 last year, so now we have an extra $7,000 that we could use towards this. On top of our budget coming up, I'm going to push for more resources going towards community development and revitalization. But at this meeting, I would like to be able to move forward in hiring somebody for the 8 hours that have been approved since last year.
So,
what I'd like to do is on an as-needed basis. You know, we don't have to do the full 8 hours, but we'll come in, and Bob, if you want to sit down with me and specifically go over each question on which ones you want to address and so on and keep a schedule. You know, I was elected by our constituency to be put in a position as leadership, so I think that I will be able to handle this on my own. But if you want to oversee it or work with me, I have no problem with that. But the hours have been allocated, and I think it's time that we put the staff in there so that we can start working on rehabilitating our Main Street, going after these grants, and moving forward with community revitalization.
Well, I agree with that part of it. But as I've said before, I disagree with your approach, because you're looking at putting somebody, which is very vague as to what their qualifications are, to do grant work. And grant work is very specific. And, you know, I mean, Laurie came in, she answered, you had your questionnaire for your Main Street grant, had about 80 questions. 60 of them were answered. I answered 18 of them. There were two questions left. What are you going to do with the grant, and why do you think you deserve it? Those were the only two questions that were left on that grant application.
Well,
Did it happen?
These are the questions. These are the questions that are left on the application right
Well, you weren't here that night, but we went through it, and there were two questions left. I don't know if things have changed since then, or maybe that one's closed, or it didn't. But I think that you should get professional help on grant applications if you can't do it yourself.
It's not a matter of doing it. See, but what you're not understanding is...
I know. I'm understanding. I've done grants a lot.
Once you have somebody in that position, we can do action items. And we can
only if they understand what they are. Well, and then they know how to do it.
Well, that's what we do.
Okay.
We find somebody who understands.
Very good. Then I will take resumes for anybody that's interested in that position, and I will be looking for grant experience.
Okay. All right. So can we put an ad out for this now? I guess we're going to have to. Okay. That sounds good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
But I think it would be cheaper if you hired somebody to do it that does this.
What about the two questions? I mean, the application, we paid, how much was the application fee? $5,000?
$1,000
Right, but I mean, we thought we missed the deadline, but I guess it's open now. Those are the only two questions. We're not even in the process of putting the application in yet before we even try to write a grant, right?
No, Ram, what you're not understanding is these questions are the application. So the questions that the office staff will be working on will be part of the application that allows us to submit the application. Okay. And then move forward. So that's the hard part of this, is getting the application, because these questions are very detailed and in-depth. And if you look through them, it's going to take some time, where somebody's going to be sitting there at an office, at a phone, calling people who are available during the workday. And it's going to move us forward. Instead of, you know, constantly going over, it's going to move us forward towards what we want to accomplish, revitalizing our community.
But where's that person supposed to get the answers?
Well, taking... Well, if you go through this, they'll be able to either they can get the answer from NICOM if they don't have an answer. NICOM will definitely be able to help them, for one. Or they'll be able to contact whoever we need to contact regarding specific questions. So some deal with talking to different municipalities. Some deal with talking about an architectural design guideline and so on. So, you know, the whole idea is for the person to...
So the parts about the vision and things like that, you're going to fill out what you can, and you want somebody else to be hired to find the answers to the rest of the questions.
To the questions that are going to take some time, where you actually need an
office.
They
can't fill out your vision.
Right,
for sure.
Right. Yeah, no, it's more or less legwork that has to be done in order to get these applications approved. Yes.
So I just want to back up. So the Main Street application, David is correct. It is 100 and some questions. Bob is correct. They're all filled out except two. And two of them requires you, David, to fill them in. When they're done, it's ready to be copy and pasted into the online form, and it's ready to go. This is just to seek technical assistance. And the technical assistance that we agreed upon, I don't know how many months ago, was to hire an architect to do a rendering of what, and do charrettes, hold charrettes, get the idea, get the vision from the community, and develop this architectural rendering of what our Main Street would look like. That's what we're looking for now. So as a taxpayer, I don't want my money spent on somebody calling anybody to do it. I think you, Maxine, myself, if we don't know what the vision is, then we can't go forward. Once you get that rendering, that's when you go back to the Main Street Grant and ask for additional grant funds to implement. So this is the simple process. The next one is where you would actually have somebody that writes grants all the time.
So after this meeting is over, before you leave, I want to go over the specific thing with you, and can you point out the two questions, and then we'll set up a...
I have it electronically.
You do?
I can't show it to you right there, but I can go through my files electronically and give them to you.
Okay, because there was 10 questions at the last... that you and I
but
had
But Bob had filled in.
Oh, you filled out the 8. Okay.
There's two questions.
See, I want to be in the loop for that. If I had known that,
I wouldn't. He wrote back to everybody.
Yeah, I sent it to everybody.
He sent it to the whole board.
I don't remember the call getting back.
I sent it to the whole board. Bob replied and replied back to everybody. So that was quite a while ago. So I will find that and forward it. But there's two questions outstanding.
No, that's great. So I'd like to sit with you or even schedule time with you this week.
I am free.
Okay. That sounds good then. We'll do that. We'll do that, and then we'll figure it out from there, Bob.
All right, sounds good.
And then, but we should still probably put the resume out or the process to get it started, so that it
will
be resume.
How long once
in.
You submit?
Well,
and get your
if you get it in, get the
year,
get
right?
the thing first, and then we'll.
Well, first we have to get the money to have the technical assistance, and once we get that, which will be, I'm going to say it's going to be at least 8 months to a year to an architect, and then we put in for the grant. Right. So. I mean, I wouldn't get somebody on board right now because I just don't know when that will come.
We don't need them
yet. Wait till you're in the middle of your charrette process.
So do we have to do the rendering with the architect prior to receiving the grant?
So the technical assistance would be for an architect and somebody else.
Right, so that's the grant money would pay for the architect.
Right.
So
right.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And then from there we go to apply for more money to assist the residents and the commercial people to implement the changes that we view and try to help them.
Okay. Further with revitalization, Bill and I were talking today, and I think Jay had a good idea as far as doing a pavilion. You know, now that we got that rail trail going, we were thinking that might be a good idea, and I just wanted to propose it to you guys. Maybe we think about that for this upcoming budget to actually put money in to get the pavilion built.
Yep. We already got it. We have a submission from the Bicentennial Committee for that.
Okay, good. Good, and then get it. And we're talking about a bathroom, even.
I'm opposed to a bathroom, but maybe you can convince me. But
okay, well,
I don't want to be cleaning bathrooms.
I'll have to try to convince you of that.
And take care of them.
It would just be a nice service for people,
Well, it would be, but it also is.
Either way, we're going to clean. We're sharing the baseball fields and whatever.
Well, that's only for that. Those are only for our events.
Oh,
they're not going to be open on a regular basis.
We're going to have to clean them, though. So that's still an issue, cleaning the bathrooms. They're not going to keep doing it for us.
And another thing, too, regarding the revitalization, once the snow breaks, after Tom Snow's recommendation, we're going to clear that out. And then I want to push forward working with Lori and whoever's involved, whoever else is interested in working on the park and the solar farm. I think would be a fantastic idea for this community to generate energy to where it reduces everybody's either energy bill or gets our bill to zero, and we could even possibly maybe generate some income through that as well. But it's the way to go, it really is, to utilize that land so that we can start moving forward and enhancing our community in one way or another. And
you said possible solar farm on Briscoe.
We're incorporate with a dog park, the whole thing,
We'll have to do a study on that and see if it's appropriate in an appropriate place for get sun.
Solar.
It's got to get sun.
Right. Well, we yeah.
We are in a valley.
Yeah. And let me see, is there anything else on revitalization? Oh, and I just wanted to put it out there that, you know, I've heard from the grapevine that, you know, people are still saying that I want to abolish the police department, which is not the case at all. I feel, you know, especially after being on the board for 3 years, that we definitely do need police presence in this village. I would just like to see our money spent more wisely, and, you know, possibly, you know, since we have the grants coming in where the police officers are on duty during the day, maybe take some of that money, since we have that money, and put it somewhere else. So, you know, I am not looking to abolish the police department, but I am looking to spend our money more wisely on community. That's it.
Okay. Judy? Youth Committee.
Wait, did we skip the bicentennial? Did you want to say something
more?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I did. I didn't see Kurt. I forgot you guys.
I know, yeah. Lori's going to fill in.
So the Bicentennial Committee has been meeting on a regular basis, and we were hoping to host a dinner April 7th, but right now it's looking like we might have to cancel it due to non-participation. Most of the people that are buying tickets all know about the Bicentennial, know what our plans are, so we're going to rethink that and have an answer next week. Thank you for supporting the pavilion. We asked the board last time to establish a capital fund for the pavilion, so we're working hard on trying to get some sponsorships from corporations to fund the pavilion.
Fantastic.
Just trying to think about how we're going to acknowledge their donation. And just visit NASA200.com to know about it, or ask one of the Bicentennial Committee members. Thank you.
And on that note, with the Village Beautification Committee and, you know, what you're trying to do, I am willing to open up my building for an event. If you guys want to do a fundraiser, as long as you make sure it's clean and put everything back the way it is, I am, you know, authorizing. If you want to do a fundraiser at my building, we can figure something out.
Thank you.
Sure.
Now, Judy.
First of all, I wanted to thank Melissa for posting both the posters that I gave her on the Village website, which was for the Bicentennial Committee, and also for the Easter egg hunt. They look beautiful. Thank you so much. That was very creative of you. So once again, March 24th, which is only 10 days away, at 11 o'clock in the morning at the Town Garage, will be the Easter egg hunt. The Village Youth Committee members and friends got together for an egg stuffing party. So we've got 2,000 eggs ready to go. And thanks a lot, because everyone's reminding me about yet another storm coming and one more week of really bad weather. And so it's in Mother Nature's hands right now, and Fred McCadd, who's, of course, very...
And you'll still have it if it snows? Is this rain?
Well, we've never canceled one yet, I think. And we have had them outdoors with snow on the ground.
All right.
So...
Good to know if somebody calls.
We haven't received any phone calls. I'm the contact person that's going to be advertising for everyone. As I said, we've never not had.
Yeah. A lot can happen in a week.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, as I said,
it was almost gone last time.
Yeah, maybe Fred's got a lot of big equipment. He can sort of move everything out of the way. I don't know what's going to happen.
He's going to plow all the grass and make it clear.
There really aren't any indoor facilities there. So,
yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
That's good.
Always.
It'll
be awesome. And I believe next year, it's just going to be about 3 weeks later.
It will be in the
early
Easter this year.
Okay. Thank you. ZBA.
Okay.
So.
The zoning board met and voted in a new chairperson and secretary. We have a meeting which includes a public hearing coming up March 26th, I think at 7 here. If you're interested, details are on the Village website. That's all the business.
So Mark Thaler was elected as chairman of the ZBA, so he is the new chair, and Terry is the secretary for the ZBA. So,
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I would suggest that we have the village attorney at the zoning board meetings to advise the zoning board. I know that in the past, the village attorney has been present, but in the last few years, that practice has kind of gone by the wayside. I think it's very helpful to have someone there who can sort of give legal advice since they're dealing with laws.
Okay, I can talk to them about it.
This village attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning board. They have a meeting scheduled, Missy?
I have not heard from Tom Snow. There is an application that I sent to him, or a meeting request sent to him, but I haven't heard anything back yet.
Okay. They have a regular meeting night, don't they have established?
No.
They don't have anything on the calendar?
No.
Just the ZBA does.
ZBA, we ended up starting giving them their own night because they just were more popular, but planning is here and there. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom usually, I told him to contact me as soon as possible because this was, you know,
yeah.
2 weeks ago I sent it to him.
Well,
because
I think it's time to follow up with him.
Because I don't have any dates left for March. So now we're going into April.
Okay.
It would be nice to get them both on for the 26th because it's going to come back to ZBA. Then we would have been able to do both. Now ZBA will have to meet again the following month.
Okay. Water source committee.
Okay.
We've been working with Steve Winkley of the New York Rural Water Association for almost a year now to develop a water protection plan. We are now looking at the final draft, and no surprises from what you folks have heard so far over the year. Steve would like to present this draft at the next meeting in April.
Okay, we'll put them on the agenda.
Great.
Okay, zoning review. As I reported, I've been talking with Nan about putting the committee together. I sent out an invitation, and when did I say we were meeting? March, April 4th, was it? Missy?
I don't remember, I'm sorry.
It was the night of the ambulance meeting. April 4th. So we'll be meeting April 4th to start that process again, get it moving. So. Okay, let's see, water source protection plan review. So I looked at the draft that was sent out. We met with the water source committee, and I think I want to thank the committee, especially Andrew, for taking the lead on this. You did a great job. We have a draft, and it's just a matter of putting it together. There were some areas that the village could improve protection of our wellheads, which we will be working on. We identified some areas where we could improve protection around the wellheads. We're going to work with the towns of Nassau and Skodak to join with us and establish some, I keep forgetting that term, what is it, a special area or something or other.
Water protection area.
Yeah, so work with them because the aquifer actually comes down from the lake, comes over towards Westbrook and goes out actually under the swamp out there and it swings out towards Bunker Hill Road and goes up that way. So it's actually not only in the village, but also in the towns. And it's all the same body of water, if you consider it like an underground lake. So, you know, we could protect our piece that we're sitting on, but if our neighbors aren't doing their part, then the whole body becomes
contaminated. So we want to make sure that everybody's working with us. So again, my thanks to the board or the committee for doing the work on that. And we'll have a presentation from Steve next week or next month to discuss each of these agenda items in particular. And we'll look at finalizing that and accepting it and moving forward to implementation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got a comment. Is this going to be handed out to people? Dave, is this?
Yes, we can hand it out.
Well, are all the figures correct? Because I don't know where you got my water infrastructure figure, but are they all correct?
Bill, but he went through the.
Are you sure?
I took them right off the budget.
I'm not too sure, but if you're thinking about putting that out, you might want to check your figures with the department people instead of, you should have checked with me before you put a figure in there.
You got that right out of the budget?
I'm in charge of the water. You need to...
Well, I got off the budget.
But you still need to talk to the people that are in charge of the department. I don't think that's correct.
Well, then we better get together.
But I think you should get together with everybody, not just me. I mean, everybody, too, okay? Just before you put something out, because I don't want something going out that's incorrect, especially if we're putting it out as a board. Okay? Just to let you know.
Okay.
And we got budget hearings, I mean, probably the time next week, right?
But yep.
It's the time to make sure all these figures are correct, okay?
Right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, new business. Bicentennial Committee has also sent out a request that over the next year in coordination or conjunction with the Bicentennial Year that we issue proclamations, honors, citizens. I even heard things like the keys to the city or the village. Actually, we don't have a city, but certainly well thought out. I think I'm happy with those suggestions. I'd like to see how we're going to go about that, of course, but possibly looking at some historical folks in the village that can talk about past times I know a lot of the guys that used to do that aren't around anymore, but I'm sure there's still some around.
So I could just respond to that. So the committee talked about the level of donation would be the proclamation. So while we have four levels for what we call a commercial sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
the top two would get a proclamation day. And then on the residential side, meaning people who live here, if they donated one of the top at the top level, they would get mm-hmm. their name as the, whatever it is, Robert Valenti Day or whatever it is. So, and the key to the village.
Be mayor for a day.
There you go. Pick a board meeting.
That's
more of a punishment. So just so I can understand it, we can include this as a benefit in our sponsorship listing. That would be part of it.
So you're going to establish levels, which you're gonna, we'll have to know. We'd like to know what they are, obviously. And then we would issue a proclamation or a plaque to a person that donates at a certain level.
Yeah. Yep.
Discussion.
Sounds reasonable.
I think it's a good idea. The more money we can generate, it gives them an incentive to donate, and then it gives them recognition in the end. So,
mm-hmm. for the pavilion, for the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that having a permanent sort of recognition of someone's contribution is really important, not just to entice them, but also to remember that they put in, that they were responsible for the donation.
So we did talk about the permanent, prominent recognition. And we were thinking what would really work is, instead of having it inside the pavilion, whatever pavilion we have, we were thinking about one of those stands, like on rail trails that they see out front, like this was, you know, established by or sponsored by, and it would be on the trail that they would read it and then see it. So we thought about that as a prominent. This would just be like a day you get the key to the village, you'd have, you know, a written proclamation, but they would also be on the permanent one down there.
It's things we can talk about, the details. But everyone, you know, because this would be villages' names on this. So, I mean,
yeah,
this is a board action, right, as far as I'm concerned. Although I think it's a very good idea.
And I assume that we would have to do, you know, when one came up, we would have to, you know, at the next board meeting, have to actually do the resolution and the official resolution.
Okay. So I will say to the committee representative that's here that the board is in consensus that we would be willing to go along with that and continue to discuss it.
Okay.
Okay, public comment.
Oh, we're going to do that.
What are we doing?
We put D'Ambrosi on their new business.
Oh, okay.
Just want to go back to that.
Yep. Yes, I will. All right. So again, just to reiterate what happened here, the RP 40, whatever, 52.
217.
Yeah, that thing. does list, had Missy check everything out that it was correct. Not the correct mailing address. The post office was forwarding the information. They thought that when they filled out, when I talked to them, they thought when they filled out this change card at the post office that took care of everything. So I did tell them they need to change their address here and at the town because everybody's got the same address. And then we would forward that to the county, of course. But anyway, bottom line is they got a bill went out in October. They did not receive it. They were a new homeowner at the time. They had just moved in previously after the last billing went out. So so they didn't
No? No. They moved in a year ago, last month. They received every bill except for the October one because their mail's going to their old address, 3 Chatham Street.
So the post office was forwarding them but didn't forward
right.
this one.
They never came and told us their new address.
Right.
So we don't have it. We take the address that's on the 52 RP 5217 sheet from the county. That's
understood.
What our records have. Every other bill they got, they're saying that they didn't get the October one. However, they did get my reminder. We send out a notice when you haven't paid your bill as a courtesy so you can try to pay it before it gets re-levied type thing. And
And that's what started the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what started it. She said, well, I got this, but I didn't get the other one.
Right.
I don't have control over the mail or the addresses. I did get the notification today with her letter. I changed the address on our computer, mm-hmm. and I did notify the county as a courtesy. But
okay.
I don't know what to do about she.
Well,
rate. She does not want to pay the late fee of $60-some-odd because she didn't get her bill.
Well, I feel that she's a new, you know, because she still is a new homeowner in the village, even though she didn't realize. I think she didn't realize what the billing cycles are. If she had been here for 2 years and gotten October bills before, then it would be a different story, I think, but and it's $60. I'm willing to waive it if she pays it by the end of this month, no later than the end of the month. Has to be paid, the fee has to be paid. Otherwise, it goes out.
Make sure she gets it.
Yes, she paid the water bill.
Yes, by the end of the month.
We need a motion for that.
You do?
Yeah,
I'll make
that.
I'll second.
All right, so motion by Randy to waive the penalty. And
second.
Payment must be received by March 31st.
And if not?
And Guy seconded it. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Now, public comment. John.
Okay, now to get back to the bicycle trail there. Are we going to be responsible for that, maintaining it and all that?
We will be responsible for mowing the sides.
Not the blacktop, not the bridges?
No.
None of that stuff?
No. And there's no winter maintenance either.
No, I just know about the bridges.
The snow stays.
The blacktop.
Judy.
I have a couple of questions concerning this budget questionnaire, some of which I think I've already heard the answers to. The entire committee, the entire board was not, in fact, asked.
Oh, they were given a questionnaire last month before any of these went out.
We were given copies of this. We were not involved in the production of this.
Randy is now saying that he's not so sure if his portion is correct. I mean, so I think before any of this would go out, it would be important to make sure that everybody knows that these figures are correct. That's my first problem. My second problem is now you're telling us what we're supposed to do when we fill this out. It's supposed to be 1 to 6, you don't want the two numbers never duplicated, correct? Okay, that's fine. But I don't see anywhere here, if this is what you're handing to people, and I don't know how this is being disseminated, I mean, it doesn't say anywhere here where you're supposed to return it. So are you just walking around, dropping this into people's...
I've brought this out basically to give everybody an idea of where our budgets stand. I have not started handing them out to regular people yet. This is the first time that, you know, I actually brought this. I put it in the mailbox of all the board of directors so that they knew, you know, where we're at here. Nobody had called me or called Bill or had any comments on it. So I just wanted to put it out now so people can get an idea of where our money is going. And, you know, as far as the protocol of filling these out, and getting them in, if I hand them out like at a meeting, everybody knows, you can either hand it to Missy or any one of the board members, and anybody on the board can hand these out to whoever and just have them return them to Missy or whatever. But on the new copies, I actually put, be sure to use each number only once, but I already had these printed out, so I didn't want to waste them.
That's right. It's just that if I were handed this and asked to fill it out kind of immediately, I'd want to look it over.
Right.
And so it has to have someplace on here, way to send it back. Okay. I don't want to have to be standing in front of somebody and trying to digest all of this and write it out.
No, that makes sense. And then when, you know, anybody who hands them out, if I hand it out, I tell you, you know, return it to Missy when you're done.
Okay.
You know, or whoever hands it out, just to let them know, return it to Missy or return it to the office or myself or any one of the board members.
Right. And then my second comment actually is to Bob. I think it's really important, as you talked about it, that you need to disseminate to the public, because there's only a few of us here, all of this stuff about assessments and grievances.
We will. There's letters going out, and I'm working with the county on that.
And would you mind if I email Kurt and have him contact you so he can put it in the next Village newsletter as well?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Because that's going to be important. He's not here to hear this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll take care of that. Thank you.
And, you know, and many of the things on this list here is all the stuff we're going to talk about anyway. So,
right.
You know. But anyway, next week, 6:30 is the meeting. It's at 6:30, not 7. 6:30.
6:30 budget hearing.
Next week.
Budget workshop. Sorry.
Yes, Laurie.
So I just wanted to follow up that, too, with a questionnaire. So, me knowing what the budget is and knowing how you guys have the numbers associated, you might want to refer people back to the budget if it's out on the website, because the one thing that sticks in my head and it's under law enforcement, 9 part-time officers. Let's really clarify that and say equals 1.2 full-time equivalent. Saying 9 part-time officers is misleading. Let's get down to the hours. It's 1.2 FTE.
I don't think it's misleading at all.
You know, you could have 50 officers and still have 1 full-time equivalent. So I think you have to really give the people the information, and it would be helpful if you use the code find out where you came up with, because I don't get $213,000 in community operations. I mean, you're missing insurance. You're missing a few things. So
no, insurance is in there.
Insurance is in community government operations? Well, maybe I don't see that there, but you certainly have insurance under village infrastructure. So there is liability insurance and bonding insurance. So if you're going to split them, let's be fair and split them. Tell them where you're moving, how you're coming up with these totals.
How many pages do you want to put in this thing?
Well, if you want to have people respond, they need to be educated and you need to provide them the information. Give them a copy of the budget, Bill. If you want this, tell them to go to the website to actually see the breakdown and give them the numbers. I mean, you have a lot of type in here. Fill in the codes.
The insurance includes the village and the police department. Okay.
Yep.
I broke the police department portion out of the insurance.
Well, then break out the bonding out of it, too, and put it under the village operations instead of under village infrastructure. I mean, if you're going to sit here and tell me that this is it, I'm going to say no. I think you're incorrect.
Well, we can get together if you want to. I've got it detailed, and I'll show you what it is.
I just think you really need to detail what you're trying to clump in there. So I'll move on that. Bob, you mentioned the two villages that went through the assessment transition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any lessons learned from them?
Well, I didn't get any problems.
Okay.
They went relatively smooth.
All right.
Mostly the lessons learned were for the county, because they're the ones that have to put all this together, generate the bills that are across town lines in some cases. And I did hear one of the villages is like got an equalization rate of like 9%.
Okay.
So, you know, that made a big difference. But that's nothing that, you know, they didn't expect, I guess, because, you know, they knew where they were. So, I think they've gone through it with a village and two towns. They've gone through it with a large municipality whose fault I think's got like a few thousand residents in the village of Hoosick Falls, and Valley Falls is more our size, a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
But more our size, and having them go through that, when I talked to Bill, they were pretty confident that they could get ours. So the big thing was that we talked mostly about were like exemptions,
mm-hmm.
because we don't offer the same exemption levels as the town. We're going to, you know, make sure that we have the proper library established. They're working on what we discussed, because my wife Marcia came with me because she works for the town assessor, so it made sense for her to come along. And and one of the things they talked about was this village apply button that's supposedly on the thing that doesn't always work. So they were talking about using there's a code that they, a six-digit code that they can use that'll say if it applies to county, town, school, village, yada, 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 down the line. And they might go that route instead of using the, but these were technical things. And, you know, it was important to have her there because that, she's the one that's going to do it, right? So.
And I guess lastly, Bill, for you, you mentioned the bridge New York funding stream, and you mentioned the Fairview culvert. Do you plan on doing an inventory of the village's culvert system so it's on record, or are we just kind of band-aiding or piecemealing?
That's all I've done. You know, I just picked out one. Can only do two a year. Picked out one, and I have not done a we probably should, yeah.
You've got
a piece running down through your yard, right? You know.
I know. I'm just making a suggestion. I think having the inventory will only assist the board in making decisions moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Terry.
Just a quick question. If Dave could clarify, or Guy, or whoever.
I think it was you, Dave, who said something about the police being on during the daytime now because of grants. I thought that was...
I think we got grants. Right, we get grants every year, and that's why we had police on during the day for a couple weeks during the year.
They have specific tasks to do. So for the we had a police traffic services grant for about $1,700 a year, and it's specifically to watch people's it's seatbelts, it's phones, things like that. But it's not for like. Regular, you wouldn't be able to pay the officers to drive around Westbrook Drive.
Just
not patrol.
So specific to what they have to do, and it has to be done during the day. It can't be done during the regular shift.
It can be done at different times, but that's up to the. But typically, you want to do it. It gives you additional time.
So it's additional hours on top of what we have budgeted for hours.
Yes. Okay. Yes. These aren't money, and they're not monies that we. Necessarily can depend on, some years if the state budget isn't so good, you get less or none.
When do we know what we're going to get? Is it before we have our budget meeting or hearing?
Those come in?
Because
I don't think we've heard for this year. We got this year's last year, so did we hear about... I haven't seen anything yet. So we don't know about next year's yet. But usually they come in. They usually come around budget time.
Yes.
But
I think it's after them.
I think we put a number in. I think what we do is we put a number in there.
Right.
And then we only spend what we get.
Yeah.
We could put $5,000 in there, and if we only got two, we're only spending two.
It's been steady the past three years at about $1,700-$1,800 for that free travel services grant. We did not get the stop the ride grant last year. We are getting it back out this year, so.
We just signed this.
Right.
Bob just signed it.
I just want to be sure I didn't
get anything. Yeah, and they were $3,200 together, right? One was $17, one $15.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. So that was for today, anyway.
Only bad question is $1,900.
Yes. Yes, John.
Will the police be on daytime when school's out because the kids will be all over the place, bicycles and stuff like that? Now that's the most important thing in our lives is our kids.
Yeah. So John, Missy has actually asked this question too about having police on during the day, and I know Tom has been working with some day shifts, so we're trying to work those into the schedule. So we're going to continue to do that to the extent that it's possible. But as you know, we only have so much budget. So there's.
Well, can they break up, set up two or three at night? Can they have one at night?
Well, there's only one at night.
Only one night?
Yeah. Sunday through Thursday. There's one ultra. It's 70. We have a total of 72 hours a week to work with.
Sorry.
Last one, I promise. But since we are on this topic and it's almost budget time, I would just like to advocate for considering an increase in police hours. I know that's not popular with everybody, but that's a suggestion that the board consider.
Okay. Anything else? All right. So, resolutions. So we're all set with this. We're gonna wait on anything.
Let's wait.
Okay. So Guy and I have been doing the Justice Court audit, and there's one item still open. So we're gonna postpone that till next month. Table it till next month.
All right.
And setting the annual meeting for April 2nd at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, get a motion?
Motion.
Randy?
Second.
Second by Dave.
Discussion.
Yep, go.
It's in the calendar. It's at, it says 7:30.
Oh, it does?
Right, that's why I said 7 or 7:30.
Oh, well,
right.
If it's already posted, then let's stick with it.
I'll post it.
No, I mean, if it's posted on the calendar and people have the calendar.
The physical calendar.
Then let's stick with... I mean,
typically, it's a short meeting.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so we'll stick to 7:30.
We'll stick to 7:30. I didn't realize it was posted.
Last year, and I missed it. Okay.
All right.
This year, I'm going to make sure what time it is.
7:30
it is.
Okay, 7:30. All right, got it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we'll set a public hearing for the budget on April 11th at 6:30 p.m.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Bill.
Question?
Yep.
Presentation at 6:30, hearing at what time? Gotta have two different, right?
No, presentation and a hearing at all at once. We present, and then we take questions. Yeah, that's what we usually do. It only takes 10 minutes to do the presentation.
We don't approve the budget, though, not until our meeting.
So,
right, it's open for...
Right.
That's seven.
Anybody else? Any other things? Questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, budget adjustment 3120.2 police and constable.
That was a note Wendy put on there. That one needs to be adjusted. You know, whether you do it now or later, whatever. I just put it down there in case you wanted to.
And just so you know why we're doing it. So we got that grant.
Right, that's where we're waiting for the money, right?
We got the grant for the ballistic equipment, and so we spent. $2,300, Tom? $2,200. And that put us over that line's budget. So making the adjustment, we'll get the reimbursement once we put it in.
And it'll be back within budget?
Yes.
So it's not really over budget.
So I don't know that we have to make
the grants.
I don't know that we have to make this.
So what was the ballistic equipment for?
There were two helmets.
Two rifles, three helmets, and package shooter kits.
Yeah.
And this package was approved previously.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we did this.
Is going to come soon?
Sounds like martial law over here.
Maybe we shouldn't even adjust it. Maybe we should.
Yeah, I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to adjust
able
it.
I mean, if it's coming. Right?
It's a temporary. Yeah. Tom, when did you put that in? We put it in already, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
For reimbursement.
Put it in for a while now.
Okay. Do we know when we expect to get it? I mean, that'll...
We already did. No?
I haven't seen anything.
Now, make sure it gets applied correctly.
So are we adding any money to the budget for this?
No, this is...
Or is it just being moved around?
A lot of things, and when you have grant money, you have to expend the money, which could put your budget over, especially like in an equipment line. Because we're buying equipment that we wouldn't normally have bought if we didn't get a grant.
Right? Well, we spent $2,300, you're saying, and we're only moving $1,549. What's the difference?
Well, we had money in the grant that...
Well, no, we had money in
extra
the,
money.
In
you
that
know,
line.
So there's going to be extra money when we get the money back.
Right? Yeah, we had the line already had money on it.
Okay, so we spent...
That didn't come in a check.
We did spend more than the grant gave us, though.
No, right? We spent more than that budget line.
More than that budget line, but the full grant covered everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool.
And when the grant money comes back, it'll be under again.
All right, so okay. I'll check with Wendy and see if she already received it. If she did, then we should have
just
sure.
Apply it to the...
So my guess is she did not receive it yet. But I'll ask her.
Yeah, but she's got, you know, in the thing here, she's got some...
Miscellaneous.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at that. I got to talk to her about that.
What?
But she's got these miscellaneous unallocated revenues or unclassified revenues or something.
Yeah, I'm
not
asking about that.
I don't know what they are. You know, but she's got $6,400
right.
Worth of unclassified revenues.
Well,
so it might have already.
So maybe some of that's that.
Well, when I gave $850 for the building reimbursement. I coded it to building, and she said it goes in miscellaneous revenue.
Well, we just need to ask her where that is, and then if we didn't get it yet, we'll have to follow up.
All right, so don't make a... We're not making...
We're not going to do
it.
All right, so set 2018-2019 water rates as follows. 2018-2019 residential water rates. Base water rate for one or two people is $116 for 6 months, and each additional person in the house at $16 for 6 months. Residents outside the village will pay 1 1/2 the amount of the residential village rate. Commercial water rates will remain the same. There will be an additional line on the water bill, WPB-01, at $70 per unit. This is to pay for the water tank and the Route 20 water project. This charge will be on the water billing every 6 months till the year 2025. Final bond payment is 2025. If you have questions about the calculation of your water bill, please contact Village Clerk Melissa Turner Buellen, 766-3044, extension 0.
Can we make a change to that?
Yep.
Okay, it's April water billing, not 2018-2019 water billing, because we have two billings during
2018-2019. Well, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
It's got to be April water rates, the first billing, the second billing.
It
could be different.
April water rates.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
All right.
So everybody in the village will pay $70 additional on their bill this year coming up?
They have been, yeah.
Yeah, no changes.
No changes. This is filling.
But
there, yeah, we're going to discuss that at the budget hearing.
Yeah.
So budget meeting.
April water rate. Thanks.
April water rate. Okay.
Yeah. Then make a note. We got to reset them for. We'll have to redo them for October.
Yeah, I put it in.
Make them all.
Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Audit bills 298 through 315 in the amount of $22,432 in the general fund and $1,698.79 in the water fund and $2,670.16 paid outside of abstract. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions? These are all the bills we signed off on. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Adjournment's in order. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Dave. All in favor?
Aye.